This is a HeadGum Podcast.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by the Fine Dining Podcast. Caroline, do you like to dine finely?
I do, because it rhymes with my name.
Caroline, dine fine, drinking water, drinking wine.
With Diane Feinstein.
With Diane Feinstein. RIP. Fine Dining, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America, is a podcast where comedian Michael Ornelas is traveling the country, eating at all the chain restaurants in search of the perfectly average 5 out of 10 dining experience. The objective middle threshold of where bad becomes good, which, if you listen to this podcast, you're very familiar with the concept.
With a 5 out of 10 experience.
And bad maybe becoming good, as God saves us. Recently, featured guests include Marissa Pinson and John Glover as they review Costco's Food Court. It's a two-part episode that covers everything from discontinued menu items to how many hot dogs could fit in their mouths. And today, his IHOP episode dropped. So right now, head over to linktree.com/finediningpodcast and click Bee's Giveaway to enter for an all-expenses-paid trip to your local Applebee's, the current frontrunner for the most mediocre restaurant in America at a 5.02 out of 10. For you and three of your friends. And you can watch or listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Caroline, who would you take?
Oh my gosh. If I got a table for four at Applebee's.
Yeah.
Obviously, love of my life, Nathan, gonna be there.
My fingers are crossing.
Who likes chain restaurants?
Oh, I'm getting a nosebleed.
Oh, probably my friend Jeremy.
Oh,
okay.
I know him.
That leaves one more. Let me ask you a question,
yeah,
Kevin.
Yeah.
If you were gonna order an Applebee's right now, what would you get?
I'd get a fried onion if they had it.
All right, you're in.
Okay.
As long as we can share.
Hell yeah. Listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Enter by May 1st, and the winner will be announced on the May 8th Chipotle episode. That's linktree.com/finediningpodcast. It's the hunt for the worst Christian Christmas song of all time, today on Good Christian Fun.
And you can't even wrap this under the tree, but here comes Christmas for me.
Do you think you can make God laugh?
No.
You're a clown if you say.
Hey.
I'm a Christian wife.
Big dick energy.
Everything.
White women are notoriously shifty.
Wanna get in the bathtub?
You should be upset that I had a laugh with her.
Clean up on aisle butt.
Stop it, Sarah!
I'm on the phone with every studio at night. Insurance companies. We are not shutting this movie down.
Welcome to Good Christmas Fun for one last time in 2020. I'm Kevin.
Oh, I'm Tom Cruise on the phone with State Farm.
Yeah, like which, are you talking to Flo at Progressive? Is like she your contact?
I can't talk to this guy. He's a goose. Like, what is this? I can't do it.
I love it. I know it's complicated. You shouldn't yell at people, but at the same time, this is one of the best performances of 2020.
Yeah, I feel a passion I haven't seen in years from him.
Abusive workplaces. It's an issue. It's systemic. We're here to tackle and dismantle it, but at the same time, and the Oscar goes to Tom Cruise for COVID rant on Mission Impossible 7.
Very exciting time.
Yeah. What a gift to your husband as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he has all new stuff. He's been playing that Scientology video at parties for years, and now I think he's got something new to work with, and hopefully he will also memorize this one.
I hope so, too. But in the meantime, we're here to memorize the Holy Scriptures on Good Christian Fun. Good Christmas Fun, an episode of Good Christmas Fun coming out a rock solid 7 days after Christmas, 5 days after Christmas.
The season but I got, extended.
I am much like Taylor Swift in the song Lover. I'm keeping the Christmas lights up until January.
Yeah, there you go. That's now canon that Christmas gets to go through January thanks to Miss Swift.
When she released that song, it was like, wait, is that okay? And then it was. And now
they
we're
added
all
doing
it
to the Wikipedia for Christmas and everything.
But they added it to the Wikipedia.
For Christmas. Are you enjoying the rainy day today, Kevin?
Oh my goodness gracious. Yes. I was driving around Los Angeles today, went to Culver City, went to the West Side, went to Woodland
Hills.
Yeah,
you were dropping off some of your
North Hollywood.
Your wares,
Burbank.
Right?
I was, yes. It was a little
cookie monger now.
It was a business day. I know. I don't want to be gross and cross promo, but yes.
Yeah, no, everyone should pay attention to this because this is a small businessman that I'm talking to right now, and this is the backbone of the US economy, and you need to support him.
And this is who's being oppressed by the draconian measures of Gavin.
The
Governor
draconian measures
Newsom.
Have made it so that Kevin cannot operate his business to the full potential. Potential that he normally would.
Gover her screws some just coming in here and mucking up my business I've been working on for up to 48 hours.
Wow. Now, how have you been taking care of your employees during the COVID crisis, Kevin?
I think you know how. I think you know exactly how.
What, making batter?
Yeah, in a way. Good Christian Fun's the podcast where
You're
we talk about Christian pop culture, man. The movies, the music, and the entertainment made for and made by Christians. We're not here to make fun of Christians or to make you go to church. That's the first time I said we're not here to make fun of Christians, as if like it's the outside
that is a
entity.
True lie.
No, it's, I mean, well,
we
maybe
make fun of individual Christians.
Sure,
all day long.
But that's like sure. saying I don't want to make fun of like any people group. It's like you're gonna make fun of one of them. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
But we're not here to be mean. We're not here to be mean, I guess I should say.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're just here to have good Christian fun. And we're reviving the hunt for the worst Christian Christmas song of all time.
I'm very excited.
A hunt we haven't done in a couple of years. We remember our fallen soldiers in the war on Christmas along the way. We're talking Christmas with a capital C. We're talking the Christmas shoes. We're talking Mary, Did You Know, a mansplaining anthem. We salute them. We do our five-fingered salute and give them a hey, yeah. As we bury them in their coffins wrapped in the Christian flag. What's that?
In the Arlington Cemetery.
That's right. They are side by side with the other heroes in our life. But yeah, Caroline, good Christmas for you? Fun?
Yeah. You know, it was fine. It's very nice. It was pretty much just me and my husband and my cat all day.
Mm-hmm.
But I like my husband and my cat, so I enjoyed myself. It was a nice day.
And you know what's cool is like, I don't know, if you've said this to me in private before, And so I don't want to tell tales out of school, but you did say, I got to marry my best friend. And it's beautiful when that is also your hubby.
It's crazy that my roommate is my best friend.
My spouse is my roommate is my best friend.
Ooh, wouldn't it be gross if like a husband and wife on their wedding day get each other one of those BFF necklaces that are like a little heart and each one wears one?
Yeah, it would be stupid. I shove it off of my desk. It's the thing I've kept for 10 years on my desk.
This says to my future wife on it.
I would love that.
Yeah. No, it was okay. How was your Christmas?
It was pretty good. It was quieter than you would imagine. The Christmas Eve, I drank a bottle of wine and watched some West Wing Christmas episodes and had a nice cry. Yeehaw, indeed.
Oh, wow.
And I was going to watch Little Women, but then I was all cried out after one West Wing episode. And you need a refractory period in between. And I just, I couldn't do it. And I know some men can, I could not. And yes, you do have to hydrate. But Christmas Day was great. It was quiet. It was driving around in a little safe backyard dinner. We were all 90 feet apart with 12 masks on. It was wonderful. It was great.
That's good. You guys got to get together.
But there's another maybe Christmas boy on the call, and that I'm wondering how his Christmas went. So maybe we should introduce him right now. Friends and folks, he's a writer, he's a comedian from Billy on the Street, from Heather's, and from his own podcast, the Sexy Unique Podcast. Give it the hell up for Carrie O'Donnell! And we hear those sleigh bells because it is still good Christmas fun.
Jingle bells.
Because Taylor said so. There he is. Carrie's coming in on his sleigh. Wow.
Yeah.
He's bringing us gifts and goodies galore. What's this? Oh, I'm you know, freaking shaking my box trying to figure out what's in it. Thank you, Carrie. So
Thank
nice
you.
Of
I hope
you
it
to
was,
bring
I,
gifts.
It was a long ride for me, so I'm glad to be here.
Oh, we're happy to have you. It was a long ride. Was it the 405 at rush hour?
Yeah. I'm just like driving for no reason down the 405 right now.
I love that. It was raining today in LA. So things, let's just say, slowed down a little bit.
Yeah.
Today.
Yeah.
Did you guys see that thunderstorm at midnight?
Yes. It was beautiful.
It really
that
was.
So cool.
Didn't it feel kind of healing?
Yeah. It did.
Like, I felt like it was just for us, like our city, you know, because like things are a little hard right now. And I just felt like it was a kind of gift. That's how I was interpreting it.
A gift from who, Carrie? A gift from who?
A gift from Amy. What's her name from Sony? Amy Pascal.
Hey, producer on Low Limits.
It was a gift from Nikki Fink.
Thank you. Hey, yeah. Exclusive. Wait, what's the thing
the
she used to say? What was her column called? Like, gotcha. Told ya.
Oh, yeah. It was something like really like,
Yeah, it was so sassy with
it was literally
Warren.
Called
it was like a told ya by Nikki or some yeah. shit. I know.
Yeah, that was cool.
I know. Very, if you guys want purifying. A good Christmas read, just go through the Scott Rudin, Amy Pascal leaked emails from 2013, I believe, from Sony like cost them their jobs. Or no, it did because she's still working there, right?
I think she's thriving. The rain today just felt really nice. For me, it felt like an omen of good and bad at once.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of accepting it and living in that half life.
It's cleansing. It's purifying. Yeah. It's a sort of baptism, consensual or not, that we all went through. And it was a told ya. Mm-hmm. It was Nikki Fink's told ya is what I've Googled to find out.
I love that.
Told ya.
That'd be a good bar name.
I like that.
So great.
Told ya.
Well, told ya. Yeah. Carrie, thank you for joining us on the
thank
show
you so today. Much for having me, guys. I'm really excited to be here.
What a fun time.
I've been a long time fan of yours, Carrie. I was very excited to talk to you.
Oh my god. I've met so many people like through Zoom this year, and it's just so cool to meet. It feels tragic that we're so close but so separated.
No. But somehow it made it a little easier.
Yeah, I'm also. Actually yeah, like I actually are meeting more people than I would have if COVID wasn't happening.
I think that's a large part. I mean, for some people, I think they are thriving in this way.
Yeah.
In maybe ways that they haven't before in that sense.
Yeah, you have no excuse
to
play.
Our commutes are just a click now.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't have to get on the 405 at rush hour.
Yeah. No excuses anymore.
I hit traffic, and that's why I was late today.
Oh, that's why. I know. The absolute shame of being late for a Zoom call and you're on
in my house.
Staggering.
I know. There was no reason. I just started slow.
I know, and coming up with an excuse is so fun.
I know, and it's a great year for romance too. Maybe not the kind of romance we anticipated, and both of you are in long-term committed relationships, but I think for us out here in the wild, it's kind of an opportunity to have a sort of Jane Austen-esque experience, or like a queer period piece, like a Carol or a Far From Heaven or something, where it's just like a lot of glances and no touching. And
yeah.
Just meaningful looks on a FaceTime, something like that.
Writing letters, I guess.
Yeah.
Queer longing is like at an all-time high, I think, for every hetero people as well.
It's going to reach a critical mass, I think. And that's when we're going to get into the sex-crazed 20s.
Yeah. You know, I just say I'm glad that you said Far From Heaven, because that is also a Christmas movie.
It is. You're right.
It's in that canon of like around Christmas movies. Like Eyes Wide Shut or like Die Hard.
Like not about Christmas, but set in Christmas.
Yeah.
Time.
It's a Die Hard Christmas movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah.
So
what's that movie about?
Well, it stars Gloria Bell and the Allstate guy, as well as Randy Quaid's brother. And it's about a man who has an affair on his wife, and then she falls in love with the gardener. Or do they even consummate? I don't want to spoil it, but it's like
I was just thinking of Tom Cruise calling the Allstate guy on his insurance.
Okay, it sounds like
you are
not in good hands right now. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Beautiful score. One of my favorite scores of all time. One of Elmer Bernstein's last. Used beautiful to listen to scores. It every night. Great scores. Beautiful
great
scores.
I need to rewatch that movie.
It's beautiful.
Sounds good.
But you know what else is beautiful? God. Carrie, what's your background with religion, your history, your trauma with it? Let's unpack, bro.
I'm Catholic. Well, I'm quasi-Catholic. My family is Irish Catholic on both sides, so I'm very steeped in guilt and shame and inherited trauma and inherited shame. And
the Holy Trinity.
What's that?
The other Holy Trinity.
That is the Holy Trinity.
Guilt, shame, and inherited trauma.
More shame.
Yeah,
shame
more
and shame.
Yeah.
I grew up Catholic. We weren't like strict Catholics. Like my mom always wanted us to go more. I ended up going to a Catholic high school for 2 years, an all boys high school in Philly. So that was a trip.
What was that like?
I honestly liked it. It was Jesuit. So Jesuits are pretty kind of the like free thinkers of the Catholic Church. Like they've been, I think they've been threatened excommunication a few times. I liked it. I thought there were, you know, obviously as like a closeted gay kid, I was like it was loaded to be at an all boys school, at Catholic, but you know, it just, you felt kind of safe in a weird way. Cause like, I think there were some like openly gay priests that weren't like openly gay to the students, but like, everyone, like the teachers knew about, you know what I mean? It had that kind of vibe. Like it was a safe space for alternative people, maybe. Yeah, it felt really like kind of a wink and a like, it wasn't like the intense Catholic where, you know, they're driving to like other countries to fuck. But actually, funnily enough, a few weeks ago, I joined a church in Hollywood.
Really?
Mosaic. Yeah, we were talking about it.
I joined Hillsong.
Whoa, interesting time to do that.
Lent is out, O'Donnell is in.
Yeah.
You're there to really fill the gap that Gomez left by leaving.
That was my plan, actually.
Mm-hmm.
My niece got baptized, and I'm her godfather. And my sister's church in Miami is pretty intense Catholic church, so they... I think required written proof that I was a parish member.
Mm-hmm.
So I drove to this church down in Hollywood, like a very nice old looking church on Sunset. And I basically got a slip that said I'd go to the church. So
they had that ready to go.
I went once and I signed something that said I was a parish member. And then I went again and they were like, you're going to have to meet a priest. And I was like, I really don't want to have to do that.
Yeah.
And they were like, you might have to go to some churches or some masses just to like, show that you're in the mix. And I was like, okay, you know. And then
what Carrie's leaving out of this story is that he accidentally committed 15% of his income for the rest of his life.
I did.
By signing that piece of paper.
But it was a very like,
I feel like this is, now that you're talking about this, like this is a business opportunity. Kevin, pay attention. But you know how you can get ordained online to be a minister? There should be an ordination of like, you're a part of our parish, like join up and now you can be a godfather for ceremonial situations.
Yeah.
That's the inevitable conclusion of this podcast, Caroline, is we start a church and start offering that.
We need to scam. We somehow need to make a scam church one way or another.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of those already, but,
but we just need the drive.
Yeah. We need I think that's a really good like startup idea.
Yeah, I mean that didn't know about the problem until you told me about it. So Carrie, you'll get about 10%.
Thank
you. Is that
you.
Fair? Okay.
And it's called church, but without a U, without the vowels. Churches. C-H-R-C-H. Wow. Yeah.
So that felt like, and then I ended up, I was gonna have to come back again, and then someone was there at the rector's office or the rectory, like just in time, and they signed something that just like okayed me. So I luckily got that in, and I didn't have to go back.
Were you tempted at all to go back and be like, you know, maybe I will check out church for a couple weeks and see what's going on?
Kind of. I mean, I think that's just like the brainwashing part of any kind of religion is that like you feel like some duty to go once you're like even near it for a second. You're like,
yes,
I could do this again.
Oh, totally. I know. I do feel a gravitational sort of fealty sometimes to like, like even passing by churches like that. I'm sure I'm ideologically opposed to in every way. I'm like, well, I hope they are thriving and
just like show
I
up.
Everything's
you know?
Fine. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. I felt, and then I got to watch my boyfriend and I watched her baptism on a live stream at their church, which was really funny, like on our TV. So we got to watch, they had like a camera up in the balcony section for normal mass during COVID. So
she
I just
was holding
got to watch
a GoPro
on a TV.
And then it went down with her.
Yeah, it was interesting, but it kind of made me like, there's a witchiness about Catholicism and mass that's like, kind of speaks to my gay heart as like someone who loves witchcraft and like, Suspiria, and I don't know, I always feel like kind of drawn to it again when I'm seeing them like holding incense or, you know, walking around like a fountain.
Yes.
But it's just like
being touched in a certain order.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, like all the ritual aspects.
Is walking
around,
a fountain, I'm so bad with Catholicism. Is that part of it on a regular basis?
I mean, at the church my sister goes to, you like walk down a set of steps and are brought to like the baptismal pool, I guess.
Cool. Sounds like a Busby Berkeley musical. Rules.
Do high kicks all the way down.
Yes. It's like it's like a chorus line, like everyone's like in silhouettes on the altar. And then, watching that, I was kind of like, oh, I felt some wistfulness for being in church as a kid and like staring at everything, and everything was a little scary, but like I was curious about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But then I'm also like so opposed to 99% of what they stand for. So I don't know if I ever could fully commit again.
Well, let's focus on that 1% and really
get
down
into
that.
How can we bring more of that to the table?
Yeah. Can we turn that 1% to a 2%?
Yeah, I can be 10%.
Whoa, 10%.
Wow.
Okay. I'm a yes man.
This is easy.
This is another church we need to start that is like just ritual only, the whole service.
Mm-hmm. I would go to that every week.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Right? Everyone sings maybe a chant or two. We do communions. We do baptisms. We do maybe a quick altar call. But, you know, you don't have to commit to anything.
Yes.
Caroline, this is so different from your original vision of TV church, which
well, I don't go to ritual church.
Wish.
This church is for Carrie. TV church is for me.
Okay.
I know. I really did get a Wonder Woman moment with my TV church wish.
Oh, we're already using that as a reference in terms of wishes.
Yes, we are.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, it's so a part of the culture.
That movie, we could do a whole podcast about that movie.
Oh my God.
And the Christian influences in it, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, you could argue in some ways it is very much like a prosperity gospel church movie.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've not seen the movie yet, but I can't wait to Pedro Pascal is like a Joel Osteen type. I can't wait to find the belabored analogy.
Speaking of mystical moments, Carrie, mm-hmm. did you have any as you were growing up or as a kid that did make you kind of like a true believer for a period at all, or things that kind of sparked that in you?
I mean, I've always been drawn to like spooky stuff and super, like I love ghosts, I love witches. Rosemary's Baby was like my favorite movie as a kid, which is was probably maybe alarming for my parents when I was like 11 and wanting to go to Blockbuster every weekend to rent that. But again, that was like that movie is like kind of a fuck you to Catholicism, which is in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
So I guess like I've always believed in that sort of like the other side, but I didn't really have any, I feel like I was always kind of skeptical of church, of like the spiritual side of it. So I never really had like a moment where I was like struck. I was in a youth group in high school, which was great because it was a lot of my best friends, and like I'd say 60% of us are now gay. So it was a very like safe haven for my kind on a Sunday night in the basement of the church. That was fun because it was barely about like the religious part, and it was more of a social thing. I guess I've always been drawn to community and like being in a group, but I believe in like ghosts. I think I had some moments where I considered like,
okay, what are ghosts then? What is happening there?
Whoa, Caroline, what are ghosts?
Whoa.
Because if you believe in ghosts, you believe in an afterlife in some way, right?
Totally. I believe in an afterlife.
But I think it's always interesting like how people define it differently for those things.
I believe in life. I do believe in something. I don't think it's heaven, but I think it's some kind of like existence. I always see it like it's like a handprint. Like when you put your like a handprint on a car window and it's like faint.
Titanic.
And it stays on for a while. I always think of it like that. Like you left your energy leaves a mark because energy can't be destroyed.
Oh.
So it just is like kind of always fading, but it's still there.
I like that.
I had a moment. My grandmother died. My Nana was from Boston, and she was from, my mom was born in Salem, Massachusetts, where my Nana was from.
Okay, it's baked in.
Right? So I feel like it's like in me a little, but
totally.
My Nana died when I was 14. This is a true story. She died on a Monday. My mom was really upset, and my dad and I answered the door because our neighbor came to the door, and she had a basket, like a grief condolence basket of stuff for my mom. And my Nana always baked banana bread. She always said, come get it, it's piping hot. And she always had this certain coffee ready for my dad whenever we would drive up to Boston from New Jersey, where I'm from. Aww. And my neighbor had banana bread coffee, and she said, get it now, it's piping hot.
Oh, weird.
And she'd never met my Nana, like she didn't know her. And it was just kind of a weird, like, my dad and I both kind of went like, whoa. And he's very...
Yeah, that's bizarre.
He's kind of a skeptic, and we were both like, whoa.
Ooh.
Because one or two things are possible with that. It's something creepy is afoot, because it's either that was some sort of divine, like you're saying, like a handprint left over that somehow the energy got absorbed into the neighbor, or two, she was spying for a long time, and yeah, she did learn enough about
She's fucking obsessed. You
yeah.
Know?
Yeah. All over her Facebook.
Right?
Psycho.
Yeah.
You should cut her out of your
Facebook
life.
Facebook stalking.
Yeah.
Cut toxic neighbors out of your life.
Cut her right? out.
That, I guess that was kind of a moment of like believing in God as a yeah. teen, tween.
I feel like those moments happened to me so much more when I was a kid than they do now. Because I feel fully open to that sort of like, yeah, spooky stuff happening or something that's a little unexplained or, oh, what a strange coincidence or, oh, this aligned. I feel like I don't get cynical or skeptical about that stuff, but I feel like the occurrence of that happened so much, in my memory at least, between the ages of like 7 and 14 than it does now.
Mm. Huh.
So does life just get less magical as we age, guys? Is that what's happening?
Or are you closer to the other side when you're younger? Because you're
that's interesting. Kind of like baby geniuses theology, yeah. where it's like there's something divine within us that then gets erased the older we get.
Maybe.
Like we're actually doing those spooky moments now. We just don't ever realize it because we think we're living our lives.
Yeah.
But we've got one foot on the other side.
Wait, you think we're like spooking little kids out right now yeah. without even knowing it?
Yeah, we're giving them spooky, spooky breadcrumbs
yeah.
all the way to the grave, especially as we start to age.
That would rule. Oh, I
we're all like
that.
Under 40 and we're like, yeah, you know, death is impending for us. And yeah, we're just a lot older now.
Yeah.
I learned that when I turned 29. It's like, yeah, it's just precious. Precious now. Just precious. In a way that I didn't understand when I was 28.
Oh my gosh. I always like, I want to like ghosts, but they always remind me of also demons and angels and those things I don't understand and I can't fuck with them. You know, like they're too scary. And so the possibility of ghosts just by themselves without any of their spiritual being, that would be nice. I like that though.
Yeah. Angels are scary too. Mm-hmm. Cause they're like, I don't fuck with angels either.
I don't like that they're like kind of unmanaged. You know, but they're doing things.
Yeah,
unless it's Emma Thompson and Angels in America.
Exactly. Yeah. Who's checking them? You know, and it's like,
how much power do they have?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they're also like extremely self-righteous.
Yeah,
they're like, it's like, okay, we get it. Like you're doing it right, and we're not. And
yeah, there's a
holier
than thou energy. No, I think we can all relate to that. I know. Yeah. I do like the idea of little demons more than little angels. Like the little precious
you do?
Moments. Yeah. I'm not scared of little demons, though. I'm saying little, though, on purpose.
Little.
As long as they're little. As long as they're, like, small.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, McGee-sized, Caroline, you know? Like, that I can handle. But,
man.
Like, a big, towering, like, 6 foot.
Yeah.
Six.
Dripping hog.
Huge hog angel. No, that's not what I want.
I do like the idea of like a demon child more than a Damien just being like, mother.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm into that.
I feel like at least a demon child's being honest with me.
Yeah.
I can spot them.
The demon child's being honest. Yeah. They're not playing games.
No.
Yeah. The angel is always like, I'm teaching you a lesson.
Yes.
Like, let's see if you find it. And I'm like, just tell me the lesson.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Why? What's with the vague? Like, I don't know. Life is already too
I mean,
vague.
We need to talk about Kevin. You knew what Kevin was about
yeah.
from the jump.
Kevin yeah, was like, right. Mom, I hate you and I'm going to destroy your life from like the age of two. And she was like,
thank
okay,
you.
Thank you for spelling this out for me.
And that did resonate. Have you seen the Vivitch, the Anya Taylor-Joy vehicle from like 5 years ago? That's the one I think about the most in terms of like witchcraft and like spirituality.
Oh, the Vivitch. Like, yes,
the
I did.
The Vivitch.
I did see that. Actually, I used to write at Paper Magazine. I was like, in New York when I lived there, and I went to watch the screening. They did a screening of that was sponsored by the Church of Satan in New York, and they had like they invited a bunch of media people, so we all went.
That's
and
so smart.
It felt very like I felt a little. It was in like this kind of weird theater, and I felt a little creeped out, but.
But then the Church of Satan stood up in the theater and did a flash mob.
They did.
Do the hell hustle. Do, yeah. Do, 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 do.
They turned around and did like a Sweeney Todd number and they were like, hell.
I would like, love that. This. But it was
I'm
Joanna.
Going back to church.
Weirdly.
Yeah.
Joanna.
That's one, Caroline, when I watched the movie, I was like, we could talk about that on the show just in terms of the. I don't know if you'd be able to watch it, but.
Sweeney Todd?
No. The oh. Vivitch. The witch.
Oh. I can try it. I'm going to try it. Let's do it. I can do it. I'm
wow.
going to do it.
Says the woman who had to read the Wikipedia for Midsommar before mm-hmm, watching it at
mm-hmm,
all.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
It takes place entirely
during the day.
Had three
people tell me the plot of it before it ever happened.
Three? Why? Yeah.
That movie felt, that was a great experience for me. That was like one of the last good like movie theater experiences I had.
Oh, that really got to you.
I had a great time too. I remember everyone in our theater laughing when you were supposed to at that movie.
It was
and
a funny movie.
It felt like a nice moment. It is. You know, that's actually a comedy and people don't get that.
Yeah. You don't understand. Yeah.
You
yeah.
Get it.
Now, when I saw Suspiria, no one was laughing. No,
no
giggles there.
No, that was
no
like tee-hees. A. Yeah, that was not a laugh movie. That was anytime someone's like pissing on the floor when they're not supposed to be, you're just like. On screen.
That's not what gets my goat as far as like hee hee ha ha.
Yeah, no, I'm not laughing. When I'm seeing that, I'm like, oh no, they're not well, you know?
Well, you haven't seen Succession, like episode one, I think. He pees on the floor.
Oh, yeah.
And I was giggling all the way to the bank.
Yeah,
that
busted
one.
My shit up. now, do you feel like Dakota Johnson absorbed some witchy energy working on that movie that then she kept in
her
little back pocket?
Her.
Until
Ellen,
a fateful daytime talk show interview.
Totally.
Where she unleashed it in its entirety.
She is my favorite example of nepotism. She's like one of the few cases where it's like worked out great and she's actually
sure.
Like, she's a good one.
How do you guys feel about Uma Thurman's daughter?
Unproven so far.
Mm.
What has she
her
been
music
in?
Has come up on her
Stranger Things.
Oh,
on
I didn't
my
watch
Discover
the last
Weekly.
Season.
Oh, and wasn't she in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood for like 5 seconds?
She yep. was. She was one of the Manson girls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, okay. So what's the spectrum though? From like Dakota Johnson, if that's like the best version of it, or like what is the other end? Like John David Washington.
Chet Hanks.
Like Chet Hanks. I don't know. I'm grateful for Chet in my life. I'm not
Listen,
mad about it.
If anyone's had a good year, it's been the Hanks Wilson family because no one had a bigger year than Rita Wilson.
Yeah. Oh,
she,
Rita was ready.
Starting with the Golden Globes and the whole like hair and makeup person being late debacle and then her getting mm-hmm. COVID first, like that was you can't beat that.
An icon. Yeah. I mean, so smart.
Now, like what I want to know, the thing I would pay upwards of $1,000 a month to have access to is the group chat between Rita, Tom, and their close friends that they still take vacations with, Bruce Springsteen and his wife, Patty.
Wow.
Now, the four of them are peas in a pod. They're
wow.
still friends. I think
I
they met
they
during the-
I have a lot of fun.
I
they have
bet.
A lot in common.
There's a lot in common. Well, the weird thing, I don't mean to harp on this. The weird thing is they met their like forever wives by having an affair with them on their first wives. So do they talk about that?
Whoa.
Whoa.
Yeah, because
Tom and Rita got together?
Tom and Rita, yeah.
Were a cheetah?
Rita was a cheetah, unfortunately.
Cheetah Wilson.
Wow.
And Patty gave Bruce a fatty on the Tunnel of Love tour in 1988 while he was married to...
Oof.
Movie star whose name I'm forgetting now.
Dropping some
wow.
respect for these people.
I didn't realize that about Tom and Rita.
I know. It's the one kind of iffy thing about his
yeah,
public image.
Because they're portrayed as so wholesome.
Yes, and I'm sure they are. I'm sure they love each other. And there's more to it than, you know, public stories. And it's easy to judge from here. I'm just being defensive of Bruce, like, so frantically. Like, actually, there's a lot you don't understand.
You know, we all make mistakes. And no one knows what a marriage is like.
Infidelity can mean
it.
So many things.
Yeah.
I'm
going to say.
Meanwhile, you dragged Amy Poehler for like 5 years.
Oh my God. I know. I feel bad about that. What a little shit. But you know what? Nick Kroll's married. He's fine.
I need to just get something off my chest. But like,
please.
I don't. I'm like, Tom Hanks annoys me. he just rubs me the wrong way.
I get it.
There's something just like too like, and I, you know, I saw, yeah, the last few years when he's just appeared on stuff, I've just always been like, oh, okay, like I get it. Maybe that's just me being like a cynical bitch, but I just like, mm-hmm. I get it. You know, like,
but he knows it's hard. It's hard yeah. when he knows.
Like someone who is good at like basking in being generally beloved, you know?
Yeah.
He's not like a total jackass about it.
But you know,
he does like lean into it a little bit. Yeah.
Totally. And like, you that can't translate well IRL when you're that
yes.
beloved. And yeah. I just remember like during COVID in the beginning when he was like updating us and he was like, Rita and I are good. Today we played apples and oranges, like feeling fine, just a little cold. And I was just like, well, you guys are getting like the best healthcare possible. And I was just like, thank you, Tom, for the update. You know what I mean? Like, I
yeah.
just was, and then I just, maybe that was the final thing that turned.
Like the
I was,
folksiness of like, oh, we're on the mend, you
yeah.
know, just like you.
Yeah, folksy, folksy pandemic. Is not my vibe.
I think one thing that would have been cool is if he got COVID and then one of the symptoms was like him reverting to his Forrest Gump accent and he started talking like that again.
Oh my God.
That would have ruled.
I just saw a headline today that there's, you know how there's all those like very nefarious, like dark long-term effects of COVID that are being revealed?
Yeah.
I guess psychosis is one of them now.
Yeah,
so that
Gumpitis is the one I was describing. Yeah.
Forrest Gumpism.
Gumpism.
Get your gumps in your lumps.
You got gumps. I'm sorry, sir. She has gumps.
You're
There's nothing we can do.
Oh, no. You're going to be a great runner, though.
Mm-hmm. I mean, speaking of angels and demons, Tom Hanks.
Wow.
From the movie Angels and Demons. And that's how we
them.
Tie it
nice.
Back on Good Christian Fun.
Very oh good. Gosh. I didn't watch that one.
What, do you want to watch that one? Like the fourth in a Dan Brown Da Vinci Code series? You're probably good.
No, but I was into Da Vinci Code.
That was a moment. So, what America yeah. was like in some going, we were channeling something in that time.
That was kind of a witchy moment, I'd say.
Yeah.
When we're all like, what if Christianity was just a little more interesting? Like add a little spice.
I think that was the birth of QAnon in some ways.
Kevin, yeah. I was just going to say that.
Really?
I was literally going to be like, I feel like QAnon has roots in like Dan Brown shit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure. Where it's like, what if you can crack the code of the world by
yes.
just doing fan theories and Reddit is.
But
yeah,
it's also
totally.
Left behind Revelation, Book of Revelation stuff to
mm-hmm.
me. That, yeah. that and then to, and then to Da Vinci Code and then to QAnon.
I had a fascination with Left Behind when I was a kid.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about
Tell
this.
About
we talked
it.
About this earlier.
I was in a car. I swam and I was in a carpool and some kid from my town who was a little older. He was his family was going to this church that was clearly like some kind of evangelist church. And he was telling me about these books that him and his siblings were reading. And it was like the
oh,
kids
no.
version of Left Behind.
Oh,
they did
yeah.
like from the perspective of like bad kids who were like 13 who didn't believe in God and got left behind. Mm. And I'm very into like apocalyptic anything. Like I love like doom content. So I was
yeah
immediately like bing bing bing. I was like, that sounds cool. And I didn't know about the rapture. I knew about like the omen and like the antichrist and I was into that, but I didn't know about this part of the revelations.
But you were just into it like as a story.
The
you
spectacle.
Like, tell me my future.
No, no, I wasn't like this is happening. But he was, so he lent me the book and I read it, like the kid's book. And then I was
okay.
like, maybe I should read the adult book. And my uncle, who was Catholic, just collected them. I think he just was into like fiction and sci-fi. So he had them as like, he was like, I read them like they're sci-fi books. And I was like
oh,
thumbing through
cool.
some of the books
uh-huh.
and reading like, excerpts of as a kid. And then I remember the movies came out with Kirk Cameron, who did that super spreader event last week, which was really fun. I was there. No,
Gary, it was actually a celebration of Christmas cheer.
It was.
So, and it was
and,
a really important.
And all jokes aside, Caroline and I were there, and it is disrespectful when you talk about it. Like
I'm sorry.
Yeah, maybe think about that before you say something.
I saw okay. pictures, so I kind of was saying it knowing that. That could come up, but
I was the one screaming at the man that was telling everyone to go home. Yeah. So if you pay attention, you knew it was me.
Orange County's finest.
Yeah, I forget that Left Behind was a crossover hit in a big way, right, Kevin? Like, wasn't it? I feel like it was like all over Barnes and Noble.
It was the Harry Potter of its time. Nikolai was like Voldemort.
Nikolai Carpathia
was Harry.
Which is so weird because like in my reality, it was like, wow, someone finally wrote a cool fictionalized version of like our true experience that is like coming down the pipeline, you know?
Oh, so you were raised in like a
evangelical fundamentalist, yes.
Wow. Yeah.
So not super fundy, but like, yes, it was definitely, we're going to get raptured and God's going to judge the earth and, you know.
Caroline, should we have called this podcast Go Fundy? Would that have been better?
Ooh, that's another podcast name.
I was compelled. And, you know, I think there's something about the Antichrist, especially as like a queer person, that is like kind of alluring in a way, because it's like,
yeah,
Nikolai Carpathia, I remember he sounded like hot and like sexy in the book.
Cast him. If you're doing the movie, Carrie, who is he? who's Nikolai?
Well, isn't he like European?
Yeah. So I mean, he would probably be, the truth of it, he'd be a Skarsgård, probably.
Yeah, right? Or like Eddie Redmayne or something.
Ooh.
It is
funny now that I think about it, because like, it is sort of accepted as canon that the Antichrist will be attractive and alluring, as you've noted. And so that every time Christians decide to call someone like a potential Antichrist, they're also betraying the fact that they are attracted to Barack Obama.
Oh, they're telling on themselves that they want to have sex with Barack Obama.
He's very handsome, you know, and so exactly. He's very convincing. Well, wait, so you read the Left Behind the books and you watched the Kirk Cameron movie?
I think I read like one of the big, like the adult books, and I read the kids books, and I watched the Kirk Cameron movie, and it was really, really bad.
Disappointing. Yeah, I bet.
I think I was more drawn to like the drama and like the almost like sci-fi aspect of it, but
yeah, like this is how a civilization falls.
Yeah. And you know, I love like The Leftovers. That's like kind of definitely itched the scratch maybe I was looking for as a kid, of like vanished people. I'm always interested in like what people do in those scenarios, like even in like Stephen King books, like The Mist or something. Like you take a bunch of normal people, put them in this extremely absurd situation and just see how they react. It doesn't even have to be like in terms of turning to God, but like just
So this year was a dream for you.
Oh,
this is everything
it was great.
You wanted.
Yeah, this year I'm in recovery too, so I do have some, that is probably my closest concept of God that I have now, or like religion in quotes, because it's AA is not a religion, but just having faith in something bigger than me will like keep me sober is something that I've had to use a lot this year. So I think I've definitely been more like introspective and pensive this year, obviously because of all the darkness that's been surrounding us.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Do you have any you could share with us to help us keep going too?
Just some tweet size nuggets that kind of sum up your mental state.
The Serenity Prayer is always good.
Mm.
Can be mainstream.
I like that one, yeah.
But yeah, I think just like also just checking in with people, and like I've realized like God can be sort of just friends and your family, and like reaching out to people when you need help or like need someone to talk to.
Sometimes like God is an LOL from a buddy when you send them a funny TikTok,
a front facing comedy video.
Speaking to one of the members of the royal family, that's front-facing comedy videos go.
Oh my God.
I do like to think that every relationship in your life or every person does show you like a different facet of like the character of the best things in the world, you know, God, or like the best version of a funny person, the best of a kind person, a good listener, like all those things. Yeah. You gather that together from the people you know.
Like, Caroline, you've said this to me privately, but you said, when I look at you, Kevin, I kind of see the butthole of God. Like,
which is a part of God, you know, an important part.
And that's beautiful.
It is.
I mean, to devalue that is devaluing the butt.
Exactly. And the body of Christ, it has to have somewhere for the stinkers, you know. And
that's
Kevin.
And I think we've really seen the best of humanity this year.
Absolutely. Just a highlight reel, start to fin, of all that we have to offer.
Yeah.
Oh,
I feel like we've even the storm last night felt kind of like there have been so many things that have made me a little more like, are we in the end times? Like the fires, that whole week where the sky was like, you know, the police brutality in LA, like the how they were setting off like all those tears. Like I could see it from my apartment. I was there for a minute and then I left and I could see the clouds of like this year has been a year of columns of smoke on the horizon in LA.
Several plagues.
Yeah. Yes. Like literally have just seen
one after the other.
Like you would, there was a period where I would just like look out my window and just see like a plume of smoke and be like, oh, where's that coming from? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's definitely made me like think about the line between order and chaos a little more.
Yeah.
This year.
Well, and because I mean, for the listener at home, we're recording this 2 days before this comes out and we're saying goodbye to all this stuff. This won't happen in the next 365 days. 2020 is a person.
It was just the year. The year did it.
Yes.
Do you
it
love that?
It is an entity and a being. It is not at all just an arbitrary way to mark time.
Yeah.
It's an actual thing that we can just put in the trash can and set on fire.
I've been, that's like something that is one of my pet peeves right now is just like the tweets and like posts I see on it, like on social media of just people, like you just said, like treating it like it's a person that you're like leaving behind in like an Uber. You know,
not like
and
the
like
the result of our collective action or inaction.
And people are like me the minute the vaccine kicks in. And it's like, I know it's all like for, it's good to be tweeting fun things. And so, like, obviously I'm not, I don't want to be like a party pooper, but I'm just like, not much is going to change.
Well, and that's where faith comes in. As someone said to me when they were telling me why they wouldn't take the vaccine for several years.
Years?
I think years, yes. And they said, well, I think one part of it that you have to factor is trusting the Lord. So I think that's what you're saying, Carrie, from what I'm picking up, is that we just have to like not worry about personifying 2020 or 2021. We just have to trust the Lord with all of our hearts,
yes,
all of our souls and minds.
I heard
and
you loud and clear, buddy.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We're picking up what you're dropping. So
yeah. I don't want to get the mark of the beast personally.
Same, the chip.
The
I know
chip.
From Shul Gaines. No, well, we won't. With God on our side,
yeah,
we will soldier on as we will soldier on in the war on Christmas. Let's take a quick break. But Carrie, thanks so much.
Carrie, thank you so much for sharing a little bit about
your story.
Thank you.
Yeah,
your witchy little past
in this and, year.
Thanks, guys.
Wait a minute. Hang on. Are you guys picking this up? My neighbor's calling out. Oh, it's zucchini bread. Never mind. It's not banana bread. I thought she was calling for banana bread, but it's a totally different thing.
But they still say, it's piping hot.
It's piping hot.
It's ice cold. Who wants it?
Yeah.
Let's take a break and we'll be right back with more good Christmas fun. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, Caroline, I got a question for you.
Yes.
How is your social battery right now? Are you feeling drained? Do you got a lot of energy right now? Where are you at with things as we speak today?
Well, you know, when you're pregnant, famously, your social battery is endless, actually, because you're powered by a baby battery.
It's like someone slaps a mag charger onto your phone.
Exactly.
And you can go for like 24 hours more.
I am the U.S. Marines of taking down social situations. I feel incredible all the time. So yeah, that's where I'm at. What about you?
Wow. Well, I'm feeling a little drained. And sometimes it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, which is maybe the zone I'm in right now. And for me, spreading myself too thin is like going to a lot of like Garfield events recently that have been happening over town.
Oh,
with
yeah.
The new movie coming out.
I know you get so excited about those. You got to spread those out a little more.
I know. And I need to really protect my energy and stuff. But, you know, it's worth asking ourselves, what's the right amount of socializing and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need a little me time, a little alone, introverted time. But either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. So things like tuning into yourself, feeling and understanding what you want and need yourself, and then being able to communicate that to those around you, and then most especially to yourself.
Well, if you can't get pregnant immediately, that sounds like a pretty good solution as a backup.
And again, I think I might have even said this before. If I could get pregnant, I would, just to understand what it's like to have even like boundless energy that
right.
can kind of propel me into
to feel
like
feels incredible as to, you could feel
to exercise more mm-hmm. to be working out like 3 hours a day
exactly
working 9 hours a day on top of that and then
good
going
brain.
Going out 2 hours yes such a good brain on top of that. So if you're thinking about starting therapy, maybe give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. If you don't like the first person you get, don't worry, there's another one on the docket. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GoodChristianFun today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
10%?
.com/GoodChristianFun. You got some thoughts on that 10%?
That's a good deal.
It is.
The
I agree.
First month?
And especially because 10% is where I'm feeling my battery is right now. That's BetterHelp.com/GoodChristianFun.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers. Aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, wow.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Welcome back to Good Christmas Fun. It's time for the hunt for the worst Christian Christmas song of all time.
The worst! Ho, 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 hallelujah!
Oh, it's been a while. Santa
it's been a
sick.
Long time.
I know Fauci said he vaccinated Santa. I don't think it's kicked in yet.
Oh, he did?
Mm-hmm. He did. He went on Sesame Street and he was like, don't worry, kids. I went to the North Pole. I vaccinated Santa. And he has autism now.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and that's how Fauci claimed to be an anti-vax.
Oh, give him the mark of the beast.
Carrie, Christmas traditions. You had a bit of a different Christmas this year.
I did.
As we all did. But what were some growing up in the past? What were some things that you or your family did?
Wait, really fast. In the beginning of your podcast, you have a clip from Kim Cattrall's scatting video.
Oh yeah, the whole town Sabbath never knew right. such a hullabaloo. Yeah,
thank I just wanted to say thank you.
You're welcome.
I already felt safe, but when I heard that I was like, I'm home.
That was me saying, brother, you are loved here and welcome.
We're
brother.
All just no, a group of he dogs and she dogs in this Zoom.
There's no height nor depth, no HBO Max reboot of Sex and the City sans Cattrall that could keep us from that.
Hell yeah. Okay? I agree. Mm-hmm. Brother, I always want to, I love being called brother by like a straight man. Brother.
Brother.
Brother, you're loved.
It's nice.
I just want to let you know.
I wish I could be called brother. That'd be cool.
You can.
I'll call you brother.
Thank you.
Caroline, I was telling someone the other day about how you want to be called dad by your children.
I love that.
I know. I think that'd be fun.
Flip it up.
It's great.
Oh, we always read the Polar Express and the Nightmare Before,
really?
The night, not Nightmare Before Christmas, the night before Christmas on Christmas Eve.
Oh, that's so cool.
And our that's
wait,
like,
is the Polar Express like a poem?
It was a book by Chris Van, the guy who wrote Jumanji.
Oh, okay.
Whoa.
The guy who wrote Jumanji wrote it. And we always read that. My mom always cries. And
aww.
We all wear pajamas. We do Christmas.
Oh, wow.
Our Christmas is mainly on Christmas Eve. And then Christmas Day is like lounging and go see like.
This sounds like a real Christmas family. Like there's some reverence for Christmas.
There, it's a. It, my mom is very into seasonal decor. Like she, I feel like there's a part of me that's like permanently dead from like how fast my mom transitions between seasons and our household like decor. Oh, like she goes faster than like a department store.
Like
she's already like the other day on Christmas. I think it was the day after Christmas. She's like, well, now we have to start thinking about Valentine's Day. Like she's already
Valentine's decor for Valentine's yeah. Day.
Very tasteful.
It's not just like a box of chocolates.
No, tasteful, it's like though. Very. She's very like tasteful, like very like subtle in terms of like the lesser holidays, and then for Halloween and Christmas, it's like balls to the walls.
Oh, so fun! Mm-hmm. I think that's just fun.
My favorite thing was going to Christmas Eve Mass at like 5 p.m. because it was like the packed Mass because no one wanted to go in the morning because all the parents wanted to get wasted. It was like a who's who of who's back in town, like especially during the college years. You get to see your old classmates. There's drama. Like there's people who are recently divorced. Like I remember one year this kind of family about town, like one of the kind of families that everyone talked about, the woman, they had just gotten a divorce and the mom was like bearing her arms at the Mass. Like she was wearing this like black dress and like bringing the gifts up and was just had her hair blown out. And I just remember being like, I was like, okay, work. Like I was like really excited for her.
Like, she turned this into the moment. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a competition of like whose babies are dressed the best. And so it's.
Oh, this is so exciting.
Small town.
I miss this. I actually miss this feeling because I haven't been to my hometown for Christmas in like 3 or 4 years, and I do miss the sort of 'tis the damn season vibes of like, okay, where are we in our lives now? And because my family doesn't live there anymore, so no.
Where are you from, Kevin?
Oh my gosh,
From Kingwood, Texas, which is a suburbs a little bit north of Houston.
Okay,
and none of my family is there anymore, but there are friends that are still there that I would like to check in on and keep tabs.
Get on the gas,
but unfortunately, none such exist.
I thought that there was also a midnight Christmas Eve service for Catholics.
Yeah, there is. There's a midnight Mass.
Well, that's the
Mass
of
sounds
one.
Very special to me. Yeah,
yeah, that's the one. They put the neon lights.
Yep.
The LEDs.
It's a rave. They hand out Molly for instead of communion.
Can you imagine Molly instead of communion?
That would be a very religious experience.
Right.
That would
freak out.
But we always wanted to get it over with. Like, and my sister, I just like that because like my sister and I would always start laughing like midway through and like it was uncontrollable. You know when you just get uncontrollable laughter at church?
Oh yeah.
And your mom and dad are like, stop it. And you're just like,
that's another thing I miss about the old world is church laughter. Like not even necessarily in church, but just stifling it in a public setting of some sort or in mixed company.
There's nothing better than that kind of laughter.
Yeah. I know. And maybe that's the vaccine.
That is the vaccine. Giggle.
We can bottle that. Lord.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You can't even wrap that under a tree, Caroline.
I would live for 200 years.
I guess it's more about like this. I just love like small town shit, town hall culture, like a town hall meeting. I love like.
Yeah, straight out of Stars Hollow.
Did you grow up in a small town?
I did. I grew up in a small suburb of Philadelphia in South Jersey.
Oh, okay.
Old town.
Mm-hmm.
There was like a.
Wait. I don't mean to get ahead of you in the research, but I did look up and you did go to high school with Gritty, right?
Gritty the, I did. He was in my class.
Yeah.
Gritty the slut?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He was a slut is what I heard. Again, not to get ahead of the research.
He wasn't a slut until college.
Oh, well, yeah. Okay.
It doesn't even count if it's in college.
Yeah.
You know, like we all were.
Yeah, we all were, Caroline. Yeah. That's right.
First kiss.
We were all sluts. Watch a teacher on FX on Hulu. So we're here to talk about the worst Christian Christmas song of all time. Again, we've had some bangers in the past, but we're looking for a song specifically about Christmas, but is specifically Christian too, which a lot of people submitted on our Patreon page, and all these nominees are from Patreon. So thank you to our patrons for that. But all of these are specifically Christian Christmas songs.
For $5 a month, you can do the work of our podcast.
Yeah, for $5 a month,
research.
You can have us say, I don't know, what
employee.
Do you guys want to talk about?
No benefits, no pay.
All fun.
All fun.
In all love. All love.
And
no
a pizza
hate.
Party at the end of every year.
No disrespect. We do send out a virtual little pizza gift, and you can take a little bite out of your screen.
So
big
it's
or small.
Worth it. But truly, thank you for gathering that all together, because I think Kevin's brain is going to explode if he has to spend any more time in Spotify trying to find these.
Oh, no. My brain's fine. But the first one we're going to listen to. We're gonna listen to both, and then I'll text y'all the lyrics in the Zoom chat, so you can take a look at them if you want to.
Exciting.
This first one is from an artist I'd never heard of, but her name is Jamie Jamgachian.
Oh, and Jamie. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You went to high school with Jamie, right?
Yeah, she was in my youth group, actually. So.
Yeah, and she was a slut in high school, but then not in college, mm-hmm. from what I understand.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, some people, they go the other way with mm-hmm. it. Mm-hmm. I was a slut in middle school, none in high school, a lot in college, and then none in my adult life.
Wow.
To this day.
So you peaked in middle school.
Oh, yeah. All right. This is a song by Jamie Jamgachian called 12 Days of Christmas, parentheses, How I Want to Sing.
Ooh. It's Kirk Cameron's song.
Yeah, it's a COVID protest.
On the first day of Christmas, oh, how I want to sing of the Savior that set us free. On the second day of Christmas, oh, how I want to sing of joy and peace and the Savior
no.
that set
okay.
us free.
Wow.
Oh, no.
It kind of picks up here.
And on the third day of Christmas, oh, how I want to sing of three wise men, joy and peace, and the Savior that sent.
Nine more to go. Let's go.
Buckle up.
And on the fourth day of Christmas, oh, how I'm gonna sing all for my King with three wise men, joy and peace, and the Savior that sent us.
For my King, come on.
Christmas, my friends will join and sing Gloria, all for my King with three wise men of joy and
okay, do we have any predictions? Any predictions for future verses? Maybe.
Well, I can't participate.
Thank him for
Christmas is here.
Haven?
He is the reason we sing throughout the year. On the sixth day of Christmas,
hot cocoa.
Oh, how I want to sing that we've been forgiven.
Oh, that's good.
We've stopped counting.
We've been forgiven.
This, like, isn't a song.
Oh, how I want to sing, but it's a day of rest.
Oh, okay. Oh, should
sorry.
Be a Sunday.
Sing on the ninth and the tenth day. Gonna sing of Christ in the manger on that holy night with all of creation. Take a day of rest because we've been forgiven. Gloria, all for my King with three wise men of joy and peace and the Savior that set us free.
Yeah, one more to go.
Having back into
of
counting.
That led to Christ in the manger on that holy night.
12 Days of Christmas is the song that should not be listened to. It should be either sung or never heard.
And on the 12th day of Christmas, how I'm gonna sing of the true meaning of Christmas. Yeah, I'm gonna sing of the birth of my Jesus.
Us free. Wow.
All right.
Oh, number three is three wise men.
Jamie Jamgotchian with 12 Days of Christmas, parentheses, How I Want to Sing.
Jamie, you don't get to start the song with the premise of doing 12 days and then just say that for 9 and 10 you're not going to do it. You're not going to write one for those two and then go back in for 11 and 12.
Or on 7th, like, I want to sing, but it's a day of... hands are tied. I cannot do it, unfortunately.
That's just the laziness really bothers me.
Wow. You know, that song just... I felt like Allison Mack sang that song for some reason.
Very Allison Mack energy, and she feels like an Allison Mack type in looking some of her stuff up. And I did find... She posted the story behind the scenes of this song.
Oh, wow.
On her Facebook. There's a story.
She gave us a little peek behind the curtain. So excited to let you know, my new Christmas single is out, blah, blah, blah. Some of you asked me, why the 12 Days of Christmas and why did you rewrite most of the lyrics? This is a fun story to share.
Oh, God.
My dad's side of the family is Italian/Armenian.
I was just going to say, Armenia's pride.
What's that?
I was going to say the pride of Armenia.
Yes.
Her name.
Yeah, that's Jamie. that means a lot of family, food, and fun over the holidays. Every Christmas since I can remember, our family has had this fun tradition. We have a big Italian Christmas party on Christmas Eve. Picture a gathering as many as 85 people in one home or clubhouse party room. Of course, tons and tons of Italian food. Pasta, meatball.
Jamie, I would love for you to get to the point.
Yeah, Jamie.
So anyway, I'm bragging about your nice family.
The kind of Parmesan cheese we put on our... I'm just kidding. it's a wonderful time of connecting. One thing that always brings us much joy is our tradition of singing the 12 Days of Christmas. For the last 30 plus years, the family will break off into smaller family groups and each get a day of the song to sing. Sometimes this was my job, along with my sister, to write out who had what day and hand them out. My Grammy and my four sisters always got 5 golden rings. It is quite funny to watch and listen to. The best part is any newbie to the family party gets to do a solo on a partridge in a pear tree. Yep, that happens 12 times. Oof. Look out, future spouse. That might just be you.
Terror.
Nightmare.
I mean, it is a warning.
Yeah, it's a warning.
She told you. Wait, so they don't break out and rewrite each portion of the song. They all just sing the song.
They do. I think they break out and they rewrite
but
just a tiny portion of each song. So
cool.
Of course, she and her sisters get to do like the showboat part.
Yeah, they do. They snatch that
typical.
Every year.
Yeah, beautiful harmonies. Down to the Catholic fountain. But I have done this was like 11 years ago, but my first Christmas in LA, I was at a party where we did this very thing. But we did all 12 days. We didn't just do one day.
Right.
Have you guys been to parties with like Christmas song games? It was weird reading this and like, oh shit, I've
Carrie,
done
you're
this.
Nodding like yes.
I've done caroling at parties.
That sounds fun.
Yeah.
But like a rewrite situation?
Yeah. Oh no, not like this. I guess I was wrong to nod, but
sounds
punch
nice.
Up the carol. I loved man, there's this video that we took at there's this Christmas party I was at last year where it was like literally 50 people. And when it was one of those like truly authentically spontaneous moments where one of the guys went to the piano, we all sang Santa Claus is Coming to Town
Fun.
And Chestnuts Roasting.
Oh, that's
my dream.
Again, it was like, especially in December 2019, it's like we were daring God to kill us with a
virus. Yeah.
Like, look at us having fun. And so,
do you think Jamie's family still met this year?
Oh, 100% for sure.
I did too.
Up the numbers this year.
85.
I think
all
it was
85.
185.
it was triple.
You know, the thing that really cheeses me about hearing Jamie's story now is she's had, how old is she? Let's say she's 25. She's got 25 years of learning how to rewrite this song. And this is where she arrived.
Yeah.
Yeah, she had practice rounds. Also, it was co-written by another man named Aaron Rice. Who was written on Toby Mac and Mandiza song. So she had a little help along the way.
Wow.
It wasn't just a solo outing.
Gloria. Nice.
It's not even 5 of anything. The premise is like, you know, you just count a bunch of shit.
It's a number of items.
And then she taps out on that.
She Christianized it. Okay.
That was not a good reboot.
No, that was kind of the Heroes Reborn of Christmas songs. We didn't want it. We didn't need it.
Yeah.
We didn't love the first one to begin with, but here it is.
Mm-hmm.
Shouts out to Allie Larder. We stand.
We stand.
Okay. The next one, you know, the next one is for all you Hootie heads out there. It's a song by a gentleman by the name of Darius Rucker.
Wow.
It's a song called What God Wants for Christmas.
Old man playing Santa Claus. Blue in the town with old Jack Frost.
Now I'm getting Joanne vibes on this song, Kevin.
Handing out candy canes and smiles for free. People scurry with their list, rushing around to buy those gifts that will
texting the lyrics in the
end
chat.
Up wrapped up underneath that tree. I'm sitting at this red light, looking at a manger scene, watching snowflakes kiss that baby, and it makes me think. I wonder what God wants for Christmas. Something that you can't find in a store. Maybe peace on earth. No more empty seats in church. Oh, might be what's on his wish list. I wonder what God wants for Christmas.
Bad.
Doesn't it sound like the Frasier theme too?
Yeah.
Now, baby, I hear the God of
the auto tune is like outrageous.
Oh my God.
5 minute instrumental break.
Ooh, good question.
What do you give someone who gave his only son? God wants for Christmas. What might put a smile on his face?
Harry's face.
Every Bible with no dust, the devil given up.
Bible
might
no
be
dust.
What's on his wish list? Oh yeah, I wonder what God wants for Christmas. What kind of gift from you and me? More sister, more brother, more loving one another. Yeah, I wonder. I wonder what God wants. By now we ought to know what God wants. Christmas.
It gets a little sentimental at the end. Yeah, but really think about that.
Wow.
He wants a Peloton.
Maybe a PS5. It's hard to come by.
Man, it's amazing how often the songs we play on this show border on parody. And
yeah, that's
here they are.
I give that song points for mentioning the devil.
Yeah,
in a Christmas song, in like a Michael Bublé Christmas song.
Yeah,
not enough Christmas songs Christmas mention song. The devil.
It's true.
Harry, this is something I've been saying for years. I want Satan in more Christmas songs. It's so close to Santa.
That is so true.
Right?
Like Satan's taking a break on December.
No,
like, absolutely not.
And I think when we don't mention Satan in Christmas songs, it gives him more of a foothold to maybe he's the one coming down our chimneys.
It's like saying something, not saying something gives it more power.
Yes.
I also
that's actually being complicit in a system.
Yeah.
When you don't put Satan, when there's no Satan representation.
Your silence is deafening.
Your silence is deafening. I was also just, for some reason, I kept imagining, what if this was the song that Lady Gaga sings first in A Star Is Born, like instead of Shallow?
I know. It's too.
Like
she's in the parking lot. Bone. I wonder what.
Or in the bar, like for everybody. Christmas.
Like, this is her big breakout.
What do you call this genre? Like, country jazz?
Oh, yeah. It's like easy. Well, Darius Rucker. It's a twang. Darius Rucker is famously, like, one of the only, truly, maybe the only black country stars.
Oh, right.
Yeah. You know,
not ever, but just, like, current contemporary country. And he does ride this, like, weird line, you know, and we know him from Hootie and the Blowfish. I don't want to be with you. But there's not a lot of, like, Christianity in his other stuff. I was trying to find, like, oh, maybe this is of a piece, or maybe he did lean more into the Jesus stuff as he went into country. And not really. That's kind of an outlier.
He went hard with, like, this is hardcore. Like, you need to find your seat in the church in this song.
And the video for it does crack me up because it is just him.
This is a medication commercial.
Does it look like that?
For sure.
Like,
this is,
it's him very earnestly singing in front of a Christmas tree with like footage of hospital children.
Yeah, this is like, looks like they're at a Marriott.
It does look like they're at a Marriott.
And he's also got, like, cigar eyes. Like, he's been smoking, like, 6 cigars before they started shooting.
For Christmas. What a fun party.
Yeah, that
look at this
great.
Foreshadowing, though. See?
Oh, shit.
Look at that.
Oh, my God.
And this was we're looking at someone in a mask, and this video was posted in 2014, and
oh,
they say
God.
There's no pandemic.
Yeah,
they
seriously.
Say that we're not being controlled. Bye bye, little sheep.
As if it wasn't right there.
Look at this. His posture is just so funny.
It's warm
in this.
Light.
Not the love sign.
Not the love sign.
Wall art.
Not the
anything
light bulb
but
love
that.
Sign.
Anything. All right, guys, what is it? What does God want for Christmas?
Wow. I also love the premise that God does want something. But he can't make it happen.
I know.
He's all powerful, but he just
and
can't
it is a mind game.
It.
You have to figure out what it is, yes. Or he'll be very yes. sad.
Yeah.
What's
God,
on his wish list?
A toxic
what is
marriage.
It?
God is so annoying.
Yeah.
Isn't he?
Very annoying. Very coy.
One of the more gaslighty elements of God, where it's like, oh yeah, reread some of the Bible, and he seems like a weird husband that if you describe your relationship with your boyfriend or husband the way that God's relationship is with Israel,
messed up.
Or with Jesus, people would be like, okay, I really love you. I think you might need to reconsider some boundaries in this person's life.
The communication is kind of the bedrock of a relationship. So
yeah.
Feels
appropriate.
Here's the thing is 12 Days of Christmas was painful, but this song, I caught myself grooving to this song.
Yeah, for listeners at home, Caroline started wiggling her little butt on the Zoom call in ways that were, unimaginable to me.
My little Kevin. My
little
butt. Yeah. In the body of Christ, I'm the butt. And Caroline was wiggling me.
I had like the opposite reaction, actually. Mm. Jamie's song, by the end, it was like driving home, and I found myself like really like...
Feeling that.
Yeah, I was like driving with her.
Wow, this, you were at that party with Italians.
I was at
with
that.
With the pasta fagioli. Yeah. With the mozzarella.
I was at that, like, super spreader event with her.
Yeah, Carrie's going to sing Partridge.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
I might have been there more than... The Darius song was just like... It felt like, Look Who's Talking To, for some reason. I just kept thinking of that movie with the sequel... I feel like that song you would just hear while John Travolta's trying to be seduced. His secretary is trying, or his boss is trying to seduce him.
Yeah.
And the song
it's a
in
montage
the
in an 80s movie for like two people falling in love that should not be.
Yeah.
That's why I was grooving.
That's right.
That's why I was feeling it.
Yeah.
Like
I mean,
he believes in us.
The premise of I Wonder What God Wants for Christmas is mind blowing. It really shatters all preconceived notions you had about the Lord on Christmas Day. I didn't know he wanted a gift. I didn't know we were doing gifts.
I thought we said no gifts this year. The economic situation.
Thought we were doing the gift and no gifts. Whereas like, Jamie's was a true parody. Darius is trying to expand our image of God. He's saying the conception you have of God is actually too small for what's come before. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to make show you a little different angle.
Whereas Jamie was like, let me retell you the nativity scene.
And then with literally an old secular tap out favorite 7 days in.
Yeah, I just got to check out for a little bit and come back.
I didn't appreciate her like gloss. She was like, and the 10th, and the, you know, and the 9th. And like, the 9th, really, and she really, yeah. She went through like
she
a wormhole.
She basically went yada yada herself. With her song.
She quote tweeted herself. Whereas,
and so on.
I did appreciate Darius saying the image of him at the stoplight looking over at like a home's nativity scene in front of it and just the snowflakes like dancing on the baby's cheek. Like, he painted that scene really well.
And that's poetry. Yeah. And that's what songwriting is, guys. Mm-hmm. And as a songwriter myself, like, sorry, go ahead, Caroline.
No. Go ahead, Kevin.
No.
Please finish that thought.
No,
as a singer-songwriter.
As a singer-songwriter.
With a banjo hung on my wall because I love music.
This whole thing. It's a banjo ukulele. It's not a banjo. And a real musician would know that. And that's okay. That's not your field.
I don't care. That's my thing. I think that also that now that I'm re-examining, what's his name? Darius Rucker. Darius's song.
Hootie. He's not Hootie. I did grow up thinking Hootie and the Blowfish, like one guy was Hootie and one guy
and the rest of the Blowfish. That, you know, the things that we expect God to want, which is that you're reading your Bible or you're going to church. That's not what he wants. He wants you to love each other. And so to me, that's also truly the heart of Christmas. And mentioning that Satan is nearby really lights a fire. It adds urgency to that
quest. That Satan is a background player.
To love each other. And it's not truly legalistic in that way. You know, loving each other can come in many forms. And so I appreciate that as a Christmas song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I like the just constant pondering or like the constant nothing is... Nothing is set in stone in this song.
Yeah.
It might be on his wish list. Might not be.
Might not be.
Well, I think you'll find, Carrie, as you dive deeper into Christian music, as I'm sure you're going to be inspired to do after this recording session, you're going to turn this off and you're going to go to Spotify and just put Christian music in and see what comes up. But this is a very common songwriting technique, which is speculation. It's like, I can only imagine, I don't know. Yeah. Or it is the, hey, I'm just asking questions of Christian songwriting.
Yeah.
I'm just asking questions.
I wonder. So I'm going to, you know what, for me, I say 12 days, How I Want to Sing at a super spreader event. That one's a little bit worse for me.
Yeah. Worst song.
The worst song
is what we're looking for. And I think for that, in that case, that's going to be 12 days for me as well.
Yeah. Carrie,
don't be afraid to go against the crowd.
Did like the devil. I liked the idea of Satan and Christmas, but I felt more like visceral. Like I felt more of like an unconscious like yes, like with Jamie's song.
Your eyes rolled back for a second when you did that. I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Caroline, he is a witch.
I was channeling something in Jamie's song and I was undergoing some kind of exorcism in that song. So I think in a good way. So I think honestly, as much as I love Hootie
as a 90s kid,
as much as I love Hootie and the Blowfish,
only 90s kids will remember this.
I
wonder what God wants for
Christmas.
I'm gonna have to say, and seeing the music video did honestly seal the deal for me that this is the worst Christmas song.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, that's fair. The music video didn't really help.
The person with the surgical mask. I mean, I know they were in a hospital, but that was bleak.
Chilling. He knew.
Triggering.
He knew, and he let it happen, spotlight style. Darius knew, and I want listeners of this podcast to tweet him and ask the questions yourself. Mm-hmm. As all the anti-vaxxers in my life say, do your own research.
It all depends on your sources, doesn't it?
Consider the source.
But we're not the final word on this, even though we have voted. I'm sorry, 2-1, Carrie. That 12 days is a little bit worse. Sorry to put you in the minority.
It's okay.
But wait, hang on. I just got a text message from Santa, and he said all the guests on GCS votes count for 3.
Oh, my God.
So, Carrie, oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Carrie.
I didn't even tell Santa we were recording tonight.
Wow. Thank you. Well,
wow. You must have been a very good boy this year, Carrie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I felt it and I stood by my truth and it paid off.
And to get validated by Santa, okay, he also just said, P.S., Satan is real and he's out to get me. Wow. Okay. Well, okay. We need to wrap this up so I can take this. This sounds a little serious. But we're not the final word. Go to @ChristianFunPod on Twitter. You can give it a roast or toast. No, not roast or toast. Vote which one is your worst song between these two. So get out there and
Pokemon, go to the polls.
We did it, Joe.
We did it, Joe. Always and forever.
When's the inauguration?
I believe January 20th. Yeah, right?
The 20th. Oh, yeah, you're right. Okay.
You mean the Apocalypse Trigger Day, Caroline?
You mean Antichrist rises to power? Yeah, I think Joe Biden's hot.
JFK Jr.?
Oh, man, on that note. Does anyone think Joe Biden's hot? Good grief.
Dr. Biden?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, I love his prank polling Dr. Jill Biden wife.
She's a freak.
Putting dead snakes in her kids' oatmeal or whatever the hell. Carrie, on this portion of the show, we're dimming the lights, we're lighting the candles, witchy style. We're about to do a little seance here.
Oh yeah.
We're not here to promote ourselves or plug our own projects. We're here to lift them up.
Thank you.
As a loving, humble sacrifice to the Lord.
Thank you.
And we start with that work with Miss Caroline Ely.
You can do the work with me at Caroline's Farts, you know, on Instagram or Twitter. And I'm going to lift up something that I finished in 2 days, and that's Bridgerton. And if you're like me, you like a little Britlet here and there, you're going to love Bridgerton because it's a lot of fun and it's pretty horny. I'm pretty sure that it's maybe not...
Horny, you say?
It's probably problematic on several levels, but I enjoyed it quite a bit.
Good base covering.
Good time. Yeah. I know, I'm really scared to say what I like anymore because usually I find out that I shouldn't.
Do you feel like I do that too much? Like someone will say a celebrity, I'll say what they did that was bad.
Yeah, but also like... That's the only way I find out sometimes. So I also appreciate it.
Give me a celebrity. I bet I can't do it with someone you can name.
Kevin Spacey.
Yeah. No controversies detected. Actually, no, I'm sorry. He did star in a really bad movie called 9 Lives.
Wait, what about Laura Dern?
Laura Dern? I don't think so. I don't think there's anything
weird
with her.
A clean slate?
Yeah. No, also, I have a few blind spots here, too, I need to admit.
Willingly blind. That's my lift up, y'all. Check it out.
All right. Thank you, Caroline. We turn it to Carrie.
You can follow me. Sorry. I just heard myself say that and I started laughing.
Well, no, you know what?
We want it.
That's why on this show, Carrie, we don't say you can follow me. You say you can lift me up,
you
which
can
is
lift...
different. That it makes it a community project.
Okay.
It's not about you. It's about the collective.
Right.
It's saving you.
It's about saving yourself.
You can pray for me at eCarrieO on Instagram and Twitter. And
one of the best follows in town.
Oh, thank you.
Truly.
Must watch, must follow.
I want to lift up... Oh, this is... I just watched a really weird and kind of upsetting but completely fascinating documentary called Baby God on HBO. It's about this...
Baby
it's really depressing. It's about this guy who inseminated hundreds of women with his... sperm.
Oh, yeah.
A doctor, like an OBGYN, without them knowing, and he has like hundreds, maybe thousands of children around the country and world.
Oh,
and
God.
They like end up meeting each other, and it's very harrowing, but it's like very fascinating to see these like half siblings kind of find commonality with each other, and it's crazy.
Wasn't this a Vince Vaughn movie called The Delivery Man or something?
Maybe.
Does that ring a bell?
Yeah, something about... Or The Switch with Jennifer Aniston and Jason...
It was a Vince Vaughn movie where, like, Pratt was his buddy.
And the joke is about them inseminating people?
Yeah, it's a 2013 movie.
Wow.
About a delivery man and, 693 donations at a sperm bank. He fathered 533 children. So, listener, you be the judge. Which is going to be a better viewing experience, Delivery Man or Baby God?
Probably.
Vote your
conscience. I'll let you choose, yeah.
That's right.
Ooh, great recommendation.
Thank you, Carrie. You can lift me up at Kevin T. Porter everywhere. I will lift up. Oh, you know what? I watched that movie Wildlife, the Jake Gyllenhaal Boy 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 movie. Carey Mulligan, Paul Dano directed it a couple years ago. It's very good. It's on Netflix.
Nice.
That's just a nice little period drama. It's like a play. Nice. Yeah.
I'll watch it.
So, yeah, just straight down the middle. nothing interesting. This is a movie. It came out two years ago. Not too old, not too flavorful or having that much personality, but there it is. And you can lift us up at Christian Fun Pod everywhere. You can go to patreon.com/goodchristianfun for more good Christian fun. This week we are taking your calls once again for the holiday season. It was like from a couple weeks ago, but it's still like all the content we put out on this podcast, it is timeless and it is ever
sharp.
Present. It's like God. It exists outside
it's like
of time.
The news.
That's right. It's just like the news. And go to Apple Podcasts. You can leave us a review. And every review you leave us, we donate $1 to charity. And this month's charity is the Okra Project. So donate to that. Carrie, thank you so much for joining
guys.
Us on the show, brother.
Carrie, such a pleasure.
You guys are
what
so great.
What a delight.
I hope we
all
can
right,
go to
now
church
let's
soon.
All join hands in the witch's circle and say, and all of Pod's people said,
those are spirits taking over my body, I guess.
All right. Now let's let Darius take us out once again with what God wants for Christmas. Let's go to the video. It's Puka Shell.
It does seem, it seems vaguely Puka. Oh, no.
Oh.
Oh, oh no. Shit.
Were her eyes closed? Is he like, yeah.
Holy shit.
Wait a second.
He is there, but he is not there, guys.
Oh my god. Was that like a make-a-wish? And he was like, let's just do it here.
Let's roll. Just turn on the cameras.
All right, we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.